praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The subject I want to talk about this morning is found in this verse. It's praying always and praying for everyone. And so this year, as we go forward, I'd like us to give a special emphasis to the importance and to the place of prayer. We have mentioned it before, but it has been well said that where there is much prayer, there will be much blessing. And where there is little prayer, there will be little blessing. But where there is no prayer, there will be no blessing. And I was wondering, after reading this verse, just what might happen to us as a congregation if every member was prayed for every single day. We all say that we believe in prayer, and sometimes we even do pray. But what would happen to us as a congregation if every member was prayed for by someone else in the church? What would it do for us? Would it change the way that we worship? Would it affect the preaching? What would happen as a result of our ministries and our evangelism and our outreach? How would it affect our relationship with one another if everyone was prayed for by everyone else? I think our churches wouldn't be the same if we started to pray like that. That's what Paul says here. We're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul has a praying church in mind here in Ephesians chapter 6. He's coming near the end of this magnificent letter. He's called upon the Christian to put upon himself the whole armor of God so that we can fight and win our spiritual battles that we face every day. And without breaking his stride, he says, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This isn't a why we should pray sermon. This is a how to pray kind of sermon. There's nothing overly difficult to understand in what Paul is writing here, and it's easy to see how it fits into his context. He's saying that praying is our ultimate weapon in our spiritual warfare. It's not a part of the armor. It's that thing that makes the armor effective and thus victorious. So I want to look at this verse 18 and point out just a few thoughts from it that I hope will be an encouragement to us to be praying always and for everyone. The first thing that I would note would be this, that there are many ways to pray. Many ways to pray. Paul says we should be praying with all prayer and supplication. If you look perhaps at the margin of your Bible, it may give another translation or another way to interpret that verse, praying always, literally praying with all kinds of prayers. With all kinds of prayers. Now, we can analyze our prayers and we can look at them from multiple angles. We can talk about the content of our prayers. We can talk about adoration and thanksgiving and confessions and petitions and supplications. We can talk about the posture of our praying, whether we're sitting or standing or raising holy hands unto the Lord, whether we're kneeling, whether we've got our eyes closed or opened. We could talk about the posture. We could talk about our associations when we pray. Do we pray alone? Do we pray in small groups with one another? Do we pray collectively as a church? I've prayed in all kinds of ways the last year, in ways that I'd never prayed before. I prayed over the internet, in Zoom meetings with people in different parts of the world, and it was wonderful. You can pray by emails. You can send a prayer to someone, or a letter, or a telephone call, and you can pray with them down the telephone. All kinds of prayers. We could talk about the style of our prayers, whether it's a formal prayer or an informal prayer, whether it's a written prayer or a spontaneous prayer. Is it a thank you prayer or a Lord have mercy prayer? We can sing our prayers. We can read our prayers. We can speak our prayers. We can think our prayers. We can look at the subject of prayer from so many different angles. The places of prayer. Do we pray in the morning or in the evening, during our times of devotion, or perhaps when we sit around the table having a meal? We can pray in our cars, we can pray at the services, we can pray as we stand in the street, or at our pew, or behind the desk, wherever we might be. We can talk about the objects of our prayers. Is it a prayer of confession, or for restoration? Is it a prayer for healing, spiritual or emotional or physical? Are we praying for broken relationships to be restored, for spiritual growth, for the spread of the gospel, for a friend in need, for the leaders in the church, for those that rule over us in the nation, for our friends, for our enemies? I hope you grasp what I'm saying here when Paul says, praying always with all prayers, all kinds of prayers. Prayer is as varied as the needs of our heart. The true measure of a prayer is not its form or its content or its style or its location or its length or the beauty of our expression. The real question is, does it come from our heart? Is it sincere? Are we truly seeking the Lord? And I think that if that's the case, then we can rightly claim the promises that we find in the Scripture. And I'm thinking of James 5 and verse 16 that tells us of the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availing much. If we're right with the Lord and we're praying, he says our prayers will be powerful and effective. All kinds of praying, Paul says. There are many and multiple ways to pray. And if we pray from the heart in our Saviour's name, then the Father's pleased and will incline his ear unto us and hear us when we pray. All kinds of prayers. Now let me say, secondly, something about the best time to pray. When is the best time to pray? Well, we can set aside times during the day to pray, and that's good, but I think really the best time to pray is when you feel the need to pray. Paul says praying always, at every time, at every moment. It's quite an interesting word that he uses. It's a reference to the recognizing of a need. When we feel our need for prayer, you might think of yourself as coming to a crossroads and wondering which direction to go. Do I go straight ahead? Do I turn left? Do I go right? In that moment, that's the word that Paul's using. Pray. In that moment, pray. At that time of need, pray. When you sense that need for direction, pray. When you sense your own weakness, pray. Cry out to the Lord. Sometimes we are rather superstitious when it comes to our praying, in that we'll only seek the Lord about the big things. We don't want to bother God with all the small stuff in our life. Do you realize how foolish that is? He's the Lord of glory, the one who fills heaven and earth. It's all small stuff to him. Or if I put it another way, that he cares for us so much that even our small stuff matters to him. Every week, Tanya and I, we phone home, we check up on our parents and the family back in Ulster. And sometimes, if we're honest, there's not always a great deal of news to share with one another from the week that's just been. It's just been another week. But it's good to talk. It's good to keep in touch. And I realise that even more now that I've two away at university, that I appreciate seeing their name come up on my phone when they call. And you know, when I see their name on my phone, I don't think to myself, well, what do they want now? Sometimes I do, but I like to see it coming because I love to hear from them. And you know, it doesn't matter what they've been doing all week. Even the small things are wonderful to hear about. The little things. And you know, if we're so glad to hear from our children, how much more is our Heavenly Father glad to hear from His? He waits to hear from us. Praying always with all prayer at all times. And because we are His children, there'll never be a busy line. He'll never turn us away. He'll never mute the conversation and say, well, I'll get back to you at another point. He wants us to pray. He wants us to seek. Now, what else do we see? Not only all kinds of prayers and at all times, but you notice that our prayer becomes effective when we're sensitive to the promptings of God's Holy Spirit, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now we need to be careful here because there are some, when they look at this expression of praying in the Spirit, they have something different in mind than what the Bible's teaching. They're thinking about babbling and making noises and grunting in an attempt to have some special kind of prayer language that they call speaking in tongues, that somehow it gives them better access to God and that their prayer lives become much more dynamic. That's not scripture. It's not found in the Bible at all. This praying in the Spirit has got nothing to do with this modern phenomenon of speaking in tongues, which really isn't that modern if you look back through the old pagan religions. They all did it. It simply means to be praying under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We are following His guidance. He is prompting us to pray. And because prayer itself is the language of heaven, then the impulse to pray comes from God's Holy Spirit. He not only invites us to pray, but He incites us to pray. I'm sure you've had the experience, you've maybe been talking to someone or something's been brought to your attention and you think to yourself, you know, I should pray about that. Well, where do you think that impulse comes from? We ought not to brush it away and say, I'll get back to that later. It's the Lord speaking to us. It's the Spirit encouraging us and creating that desire to pray within us. And when we have that impression placed upon us, then we ought to be praying in the Spirit. So the next time you have that impression, you know, I should pray about that. Or someone comes across your mind, you say, you know, I haven't thought about that person for a long time. I wonder what they're doing. I should pray for them. Well, go and do it. Take it as a message from the Holy Spirit to go ahead and to pray. It can come at any time when we're in mid-conversation with someone else, when you're on the phone speaking, talking to a friend. You could be listening to the radio or sitting in church. You could be lying in bed at night, unable to sleep, and someone or something comes to mind and you think, you know, I should probably pray for that person. Go ahead and do it. Maybe someone in the hospital undergoing surgery. Maybe it's a family situation. And the news that you've heard is breaking your heart because of what's happening. Well, pray for it. Pray in the Spirit. Go ahead and pray. You don't have to pray out loud. In fact, we don't have to pray to the Lord with words at all. We're told in Romans that the Spirit makes groanings. I think looking back in my life, some of the most effectual prayers that I ever prayed were simply groans from the heart. But the Lord knew, the Lord heard, the Lord answered. Pray about the things that the Lord lays upon your heart. You don't need to be ashamed or worried that you won't say the right thing. The Spirit intercedes for us. He comes alongside us when we pray so that our feeble prayers rise above the ceiling over our heads. And he grants to our prayers power to enter the courts of heaven, to be carried to the throne of God, to be sanctified and washed and cleansed by the Saviour and presented to the Father. Let's not make this mysterious at all. When you feel that desire or urge or need for prayer, go ahead and do it. And I think we'll find that we'll be praying much more every day if we were simply more sensitive to the impulse of God's Spirit working upon us. We mightn't pray as long, but we'll be praying more. We're to pray with always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What else do we see here? That if we want our prayers answered, we need to stay awake. Keep on praying. He says we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Watching thereunto. It's a military term Paul's using. He's just talked about the Christian as a soldier, putting on his armor, taking the weapon of God's word, and now praying always with all prayer and watching thereunto. It's the soldier on guard. Be alert, he says. Watch. Keep your eyes open. Don't be sleeping on duty. And like the sentry on guard, you have a responsibility not only for your own safety, but for those that are around you. The soldier stays alert at his post because the rest of his comrades are depending upon it. It could be a matter of life and death. We ought not to think that when we pray that it doesn't matter. In reality, we are sentries on guard. We are on the front line in the midst of spiritual combat, and we are to watch thereunto. Be alert for things that need to be prayed about. And notice what he says, with all perseverance. Don't be distracted. I don't need to tell you just how easy it is to be distracted when we pray. Try it when you go home. Just set aside some time for prayer. Bow your head and begin. And see how long it is until the doorbell rings. Or your phone rings. Or as a message or an email comes in for you. Or there's some music in the background that distracts you. Or something that takes your attention away. You have something in the oven that needs to be attended to. And a thousand things come crowding in upon us as we begin to pray. It seems as if the devil really gets to work when he sees us starting to pray. He unloads his full armory of distractions against us. Perhaps we decide we're going to spend some time in prayer. We set aside the time and we get down to pray. We begin to pray. We pray for ourselves and we pray for our family. We pray for our friends. We pray for our church and the leaders of the church. We pray for the country and the leaders of the country. And we pray for the missionaries that we know. And then all of the missionaries in the world and every country in the world. And finally we pray for every person in the world by name, or so it seems. And then we open our eyes and discover we've been praying for 4 minutes. Persevere in prayer. You know, I was once asked the question, why do we close our eyes and bow our heads when we pray? Do we need to do that? Well, no, we don't need to do that. I'm sure it's something we've always wondered about from time to time. Why do we bow our heads and close our eyes when we pray? Well, the answer is very simply that if we don't do that, it's so much harder to keep out the distractions. To actually keep praying without a thousand and one thoughts going through our mind, the things that we see, the things that we hear, and watching, keeping guard, persevering in prayer. Notice how the verse ends. perseverance and supplication for all saints. The wider our concerns in prayer, the wider the results. We're to pray for all saints. We're to get out of the rut of simply praying for ourselves and our family. I heard of a man who prayed something like this: Lord, I pray for myself, my wife, my son, my daughter, us four, and no more. Amen. Now, it's good to pray for those around us and our family. It's right and it's proper. But if we think that we've exhausted our praying when we've done that, we need to take another look at what's been said here. We're praying always for all saints. We pray for ourselves, our family, our loved ones. But we don't stop there. We're to pray for friends. We're to pray for neighbors. We're to pray for our church. We're to pray for missionaries that we know and love. We're to pray for the work of God in other places. And as we begin to pray for God's work in other countries, then our heart is stretched out into new horizons. If you think about our praying in terms of concentric circles, think of the pebble thrown into the pond with the ripples going out. Naturally, we begin to pray for those that are nearest and closest to our heart. That's right. But every outward circle takes us further away from ourselves and closer to the heart of God. Well, what do you mean? Well, we're told in the scriptures that God so loved the world. So the further we get to ourselves, the wider our praying becomes and the more Christ-like it becomes. How wide are our prayers? How broad is our concern? How much do we pray for the people of God around the world and for the work of the gospel in foreign lands, for those that have yet to be reached with the good news? Prayer is the Christian's secret weapon. There are people who will not receive a gospel tract from us, who will not stop long enough to converse with us about the matters of the gospel. They don't want to hear or to know about it, but they can't stop our praying for them. So it's no accident that prayer comes immediately after the listing of the armor of God. It's been well said that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees, because there's work being done there. Business with heaven. And those of us who know a little theology could do with learning a little kneology. Time spent before the Lord in prayer. And so the Apostle Paul takes this theme that he's been preaching on and speaking about, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And what does he do? He turns it into a prayer request. And for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Notice what Paul asks the church to pray for, that the Lord would give him clarity and courage. Clarity that he might have the right words to say, and courage that he might say them. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but the ability to communicate the truth of God is clearly a gift from himself. So if I, as your pastor, am not preaching well, maybe pray more for me. So Paul said, pray for me, that as an ambassador of the Lord, that utterance may be given to me to make known the mystery of the gospel, clarity and courage. Where did Paul write this request from? Well, you've got a note at the end of verse 24, perhaps in your Bible, written from Rome unto the Ephesians by Tychicus. Well, when Paul was in Rome, he was in prison. He was under 24-hour-a-day surveillance. He was an ambassador in bonds or in chains. And this is what really blows me away here. Paul is innocent of any crime, but he doesn't ask them to pray that I can get out of here. He's not asking them that God might reverse his sentence or cut him loose from these chains. He's not asking for his circumstances to be changed. He understands that behind the mighty power of Rome stands the Lord of glory himself. And God has brought him to that prison because he has work to do here. So he asked for prayer that he might be clear and courageous to do God's work even in the prison cell. Did he want to be set free? I'm sure he did. But it's not his chief concern. Whether in prison or out of it, he wants to proclaim Christ to those who do not know him. So he doesn't ask or pray to be released or that his life might be spared. He's not asking for a miracle. He's simply asking that when I open my mouth, that I will have something to say and that I will have courage to say it. What an example for the rest of us. Now, there are two final thoughts, very quickly. None of us ever outgrow the need for prayer. I know sometimes we find it hard to say, can you pray for me? Because that's like admitting that we're weak. And it is. But that's why we need prayer in the first place. If we were strong, we could do it all ourselves. But here's the real truth about all of us. We aren't that strong. And we aren't that smart or clever or wise or brave. And there's none of us so great that we are beyond the need of prayer. And none of us are so rich in blessing that we do not need someone to pray for us. And I think the reason that we're so reluctant to ask others to pray for us because we're more overly concerned about our image. We're full of pride. And our pride keeps us silent even when inwardly we're desperate. We want to keep up the image that we've got everything under control, that we can handle everything that the world throws at us, that we're self-sufficient. And if people hear us asking for prayer, well, what will they think about us? And that's why Paul, I believe, gave his request in verse 19 and 20. Who was the greatest Christian of all time? Well, probably the Apostle Paul. Who knew the gospel best? Well, none knew it better than he did. Who preached it more fearlessly than Paul? Well, probably no one. And still he asks for the Ephesians to pray for him. Was Paul a failure? Not at all. He wrote a great part of the New Testament. He opened up Europe to the preaching of the gospel. And yet he's not afraid to admit his need. There's a mark of humility about the great apostle when he comes and says to the church of Ephesus, pray for me. I know that you have me on a pedestal and think of me as some great saint, a great warrior for God. Oh, that there would be more like him. But Paul says, pray for me. None of us ever outgrow the need for prayer. And we should never be ashamed to come to another and say, would you pray for me? Not only do we not outgrow the need for prayer ourselves, neither do we outgrow the need to pray for others also. As we sit this morning in church, with those of like precious faith sitting around us, just as much as we need others to pray for us, there are others here that need us to pray for them. There are those here today that would love to know that the saints of God are praying for them. Someone needs courage, needs love, needs strength, needs guidance. Perhaps there's one that would be and is wounded and needs others to come alongside and to pray for them. that they might be bound up in the things of God. Maybe there's someone that you know that you're ready for giving up. You need someone to pray for them. Maybe there's some that you know that are being deceived and laid down wrong pathways, and they need someone to pray that the Lord might guide them. Someone battling with temptation, and unless you pray, the danger is that they'll yield. Maybe there's one that's in the midst of the battle of the gospel and doing things for the Lord, but they're growing faint in the day of battle. Pray for them. Pray for them. There's always more than enough to be prayed for if only we would open our eyes and look around and see. That's why Paul says we're to pray always and for all saints. So let me finish where I started. What would happen in our church if everyone in the congregation was prayed for every day? How would it impact our worship, our outreach, our relationships, our faith, our vision for the future, our leadership? If we all started to pray for each other every day, we wouldn't be the same, would we? Think of the word that would spread. You know, those people really love one another. They pray for one another. They really know how to pray. And I think our love for one another would grow. And our lives would be transformed. And think of the great things that the Lord could do with us and through us. Think of the excitement there would be when every time we would meet, that we would know that these are people that are praying for me, and I'm praying for them. And think of the impact that we could have on the world around us as we begin to pray for God's work here in Kingston, across Tasmania, throughout all Australia. We pray for missionaries in Liberia, and Uganda, and Kenya, and Pakistan, and the Philippines, and Spain, and Mexico, and all of the other missionaries we draw to your attention. Praying always for all saints. And I think when we do that, the Lord is able to do more for us, and through us, and with us than we ever dreamed. If we really started to pray. And so with our prayer meeting recommencing on Wednesday night, wouldn't it be a good commitment to make that at least for that 1 hour in the week that I'm going to set aside time to meet with others to pray? And if I've got requests, I'll bring them and I'll let them be known, and I'll not be ashamed, and I'll ask others to pray for me, and I will pray for them. And we'll look to the Lord to do great and wonderful things. Praying always and for everyone. May that be our commitment as we strike out into 2022. Praying always and for everyone. Lord, help us to pray. Amen.